help us rejoice in your glory, and in the glory that you have specifically and supremely revealed in Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. A pregnant young lady and her fiancé making a long journey from Nazareth. A strange census and an even stranger name, Quirinius. An inn that is filled to the max with no room to spare. A baby in a manger. Swaddling cloths, shepherds working in the field by night, angels, declarations of joy and peace, Bethlehem, Joseph, Mary, Jesus. I suspect that that's the most well-known story in the Bible. Even if you're not that familiar with the Bible, I suspect that you can fill in most of the details of that story. But I would guess that maybe some of you are like me. This morning we're all faithful churchgoers. And you've been to Bethlehem every Christmas now, year after year after year after year. Right, every Christmas you hear what the angel has to say, you make the trip with the shepherds, you see the baby, you know the trip to Bethlehem by heart. But if you think about your celebrations over the last couple of days, do you still marvel along with the shepherds? Do you still make the trip in haste like they did? Do you still leave glorifying and praising God for all that you've seen and heard? Or has the familiarity of it all bred maybe just a little bit of contempt? Have the majestic and the miraculous simply become mundane for you? Well, it's easy for it to happen, but it's almost tragic when it does, because here in Luke chapter 2, we have the story of God's glory in the highest. Not just a little bit of glory. Not just a shade of glory, but glory in the highest. And so I want to take us back to that story from yesterday, just for a few minutes, and make sure we hear again what exactly took place. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, tells of the multitude of the heavenly host, these unworldly, magnificent, angelic beings making this unparalleled declaration of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And even though God is always fully and perfectly glorious, it was only then, at that moment in history, to a bunch of shepherds in the middle of the night, that the heavenly host declared, glory to God in the highest. And that can only mean one thing here, that the coming of Jesus brings the highest degree of glory to God among human beings. That in his coming and his dying on the cross and his rising again, God is supremely glorified. Now, I've often wondered why, of all the different types of human beings and vocations in the world, why shepherds? Why reserve God's glory in the highest for thousands of years, only to make the inaugural announcement to some relatively insignificant shepherds who we never hear from again and whose names we will only know when we get to heaven? Now, I think most people, when they get to heaven, they want to meet somebody like Moses. Right? Not me. Moses is way too far out of my league. I can relate much better with the insignificance and the obscurity of the shepherds. That's my life, insignificance and obscurity. I want to know what it was like to be in the field that night. Spending another cold and lonely night with the sheep, only to have an angel appear telling me not to be afraid because he has good news of great joy, that the fulfillment of all that myself and my people have been longing and hoping for has finally come. A Savior, the Christ, the Lord. And yeah, he was just born, and so he's still a baby, and you'll find him in some swaddling cloths in a manger. And then to add to all of that, more heavenly beings appear, and they declare glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. And then, as if that wasn't enough, the shepherds actually get to see what this highest glory is as they make haste to Bethlehem and lay their eyes on the Savior, the long-awaited Christ, the Lord of all the universe, lying as a baby in a manger. That's the story that I want to hear one day from the shepherd's own lips. It truly is a remarkable event. It's glory in the highest. And yet, it's glory that reaches to the lowliest. You know, ultimately, I think that's why God chose these unremarkable shepherds for such a remarkable event, and why he ordained almost everything the way he did surrounding Jesus' birth. The glory in the highest in the town of nowhere special Bethlehem. A glory in the highest to an unwed, virgin, pregnant teenage girl. Glory in the highest to unknown shepherds. Glory in the highest wrapped in swaddling cloths. Glory in the highest lying in a manger. Glory in the highest that reaches to the lowliest. It's why the Christian can rejoice. And it's not the whole story, but it's a huge part of the story. It is the incarnation of God into humanity. It is the glory of God breaking into the mess of this world and declaring itself in the person of Jesus Christ. Jim Schwartz, the pastor at Christ Lutheran Church in Sedona, Arizona, in the States, tells the story of a few years back when his church there decided to have a live nativity scene in their Christmas Eve service. So animals, hay, mother, baby, the whole thing live. Well, the baby had a bowel movement, like a seriously ferocious bowel movement. And it was so bad that it soiled the clothes of the child, and it seeped through so much that it soiled the mother's clothes as well. And the odor of it all just soon started to drift through the sanctuary. Now, amazingly, mother and child continued to try and maintain their proper, polite nativity posture, but realizing that the congregation was clearly aware of what was going on, Pastor Schwartz took the opportunity to remind the people that they now had some idea of what the theology of the incarnation is all about. It's not clean. It's not pretty, it's not fragrant, and there are no halos around the Holy Family. Like, there's an odor, not an aura. And God becoming a human was a messy, smelly business. But again, that's exactly why the angel could say to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy, because there is joy and hope for us humans in the fact that glory in the highest has dwelt in the mud of this earth. So much so, that baby would one day suffer and bleed and die for the sins of everyone who would ever turn from their sin and put their trust in him alone. And so joy begins here. It begins in a stable. It's stinky joy, to be sure, but that's God's way of working in the mess and in the seeming insignificance of our lives. And so if the turkey was just a bit dry yesterday afternoon, right, or if the pudding wasn't quite right, or if the gifts left much to be desired, or more seriously, when there's painful division in the family that's felt especially this time of the year, or there's the acute remembrance of a lost loved one who's no longer around for the celebrations, or there's illness and disease, or financial hardship which made this Christmas just a little lean, remember that glory in the highest reaches to the lowliest, that it is precisely into the midst of all that stench that God has beautifully intruded, that it is into the muck that Christ has come and the angel has declared, I bring you good news of great joy, true, lasting, internal, eternal joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So on this Christmas weekend, Let us make haste with the shepherds back to Bethlehem, praising God and saying, glory.